Is there anything I'd like to ask Joan? Probably, it would probably be, would she have my child? But I'm not sure if she has any eggs left.
I'm Joan Rivers, and here I am on my show, In Bed with Joan, and let's see who my guest is going to be this time, all right? Let's see who's going to come out of the closet. Hello?
Hi.
RuPaul. All right. Hello, my girl. How long do we know each other?
I think it's been like 19 years.
Okay. What's your worst feature? What's the one thing? Like, my very good friend is Charles Bush, who is a female impersonator, right? And Charles, he thins his nose, he does this, this gets pulled. What do you do? What? All right, here you are, and you're a good-looking man. Not great, but good. You know what I'm saying is you're very nice-looking. You look at yourself in the mirror, now you want to become this glorious woman.
Right.
What do you have to change?
Well, the dimensions of my face, obviously there's contouring going on. There's you know, what happens is with light and dark, you highlight certain parts. I bring my cheekbones out. I diminish the chin.
How?
Especially with shadows.
How did you understand this? Where do you come from that you grew up and you said, I get this?
Right. You know, I was a little boy who could, it's like how dogs can hear things that other humans cannot hear. I was the kid who could see things and understand things that other people couldn't. And I just had to dumb it down until I could get the hell out of Dodge. You know what I mean? I was reading magazines, and I had to play dumb to sort of go under the radar, you know?
So how old were you when you knew, I got to get out of here? And where was here?
I'm from San Diego.
Well, that's not tragic.
It's in folklore, it's not tragic.
You know, if you told me Mississippi, I'd go, oh, my God.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Follow the mosquitoes. But, I mean, this is, you know, but San Diego is big time.
Well, you know, for...
Sailors.
Well, exactly. You know, it's a rite of passage to date a sailor in San Diego. And actually, I dated a sailor who was from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
And cute?
He was gorgeous.
Was he your first?
No, was he? No, he wasn't my first. No.
Was he your first sailor?
First of many, yes.
Is there a first attached somewhere along the line? So how did you know I had to get out of San Diego?
Well, this is the thing.
And what age?
This is the thing. My folks were from the South. They were country people from the South, from Louisiana, actually, who moved to San Diego. A lot of people from the South moved up to Detroit or to Ohio, you know, to...
Were they black?
Yeah.
No. Both. Well, because you've got that wonderful... You've got, to me, where there's the perfect color, like that mocha.
Yes.
Which is, because I think, take a black man, take a white woman, or vice versa, and mix them. And if the mix is right, it's the perfect skin.
I agree. I think it's gorgeous.
Halle Berry, I mean.
Yeah.
You want to eat it with a spoon.
Gorgeous. Well, you know, that's funny you say that, because my mother was Creole, a mulatto.
So here we go.
Yeah, she was from St. Martinsville, Louisiana. And she had the complexion. She wasn't as light as you, but she was very, very, very light, you know. But my father was...
Thomas Jefferson light. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Tom.
But you understand, see, San Diego, no matter where you are, that sort of mentality, that southern sort of poor... we was Poe. That sort of poor mentality, that's what I had to escape from. So it doesn't matter where you live. I mean, San Diego is glamorous, it's sunny and all that, but I had to get the hell out of there to find my people. And I would read magazines and do all, Vogue magazine, all that stuff. I thought, I'll have to go to New York, meet Andy Warhol, and create a persona, become a star, and then go to Hollywood. That was my thinking.
So you were smart enough to get it, that I'm different and I have to get out.
Yeah, absolutely.
How'd you get to the Vogue? What did your mother think when she walks in and there's her little butch boy reading Vogue and doing, I mean, at what point did they figure out your family?
Well, my mother, because she was always different, she was very punk rock. She was anti-establishment. She was, you know, honestly, she was world weary. So she loved the fact that I was different from everyone else. And she actually applauded that and she pushed me out to do more of, to be myself. She said, look, Rue, unless they're going to pay your bills, you pay those bitches no mind. That was her motto.
Did she live to see you successful, and how successful?
You know what? She just saw the very beginning of it. She got to see the very beginning of it. It was about 93. She saw me on television, and she looked over and says, "Nigga, you are crazy."
She said that?
Yes. But she cuz like a sailor, she was very that way, but she had predicted when I was a kid that I would become famous, and RuPaul is my real name.
Ru stands for some kind of a weed.
The gumbo.
Yeah.
Gumbo is the basis of a gumbo. The roux is the basis of a gumbo. It's like a gravy.
And she named you Roux?
RuPaul.
RuPaul.
Yeah, yeah. It's and they said, "Tony, why are you going to name the boy RuPaul?" I'm going to cuss now.
Oh, go. Oh, this is the internet. Nobody watches.
Exactly.
Enjoy yourself. I'm going to think it's cute. We have two people here that are holding cameras.
Yes, exactly. So
and not too bright.
Not too bright.
So you can curse.
They said, she said, "Why are you?" She said, "Because he's, why you, his name is RuPaul Andre Chal, and he's going to be a star because there ain't another motherfucker alive with a name like that."
That's great.
Isn't that funny?
Now, what about your father? Did he say to her, "Okay," or was he, were you the only son?
I'm the only boy.
Well, that's hard then, right? There were sisters.
All three sisters, yep. You know, my father and I, we never, you know, it's funny because a psychic years ago said, you know, you two have shared lives before, and you've always wanted to connect with him on this level, on this consciousness, but that never happened, and that's perfectly fine. It took me years to get to that place where I was okay with that, and to where my motivation for doing show business came from here rather than trying to get him to approve of it, you know?
Psychics, mm-hmm. How involved are you with psychics? Because I'm a big one.
Really?
As long as they say something good.
Right. You know what? I love psychics. And what they've done for me over the years is it's clarity.
Yeah, but I'm looking for the psychic that says you're going to meet a good-looking man in 2 weeks. You know, that's the psychic guy. I want to call the psychic hotline and really hear, like, Dionne Warwick tell me something terrific.
Well,
she made a fortune.
Did she really?
Remember that? We were all calling her.
I loved Linda Georgian, the woman with her. Linda Georgian.
She was whispering to her.
I love that show. I wish I had some of those on tape. They were so great.
So great. Okay, back to you. What point did you get into drag and how?
I was in a rock and roll band, a punk rock band in Atlanta, Georgia, and one of the gimmicks we would do to get, you know, just to change it up was to get into drag, or we'd have a barbecue on stage. We'd do whatever it takes, just gimmicks, you know? And so I got into what was called genderfuck drag, which is sort of a reaction to the Reagan 80s. It's just sort of a lipstick smear, just messy combat boots, just as a reaction, right? But people were like, "Bitch, you're fierce." And I was like, "Huh? What?" And they're like, "You've got great legs." "I have great legs? I didn't know I had great legs." And I thought, I'm used to listening and listening to the universe's stage direction. So I said, I'm going to store that away, right? And as years went on and rent needed to be paid, I thought, you know, maybe I'll do that, you know? And of course, the reaction I got from people was amazing. So I don't need a brick to fall on my head.
What were you doing to support yourself when you first went to New York before you really got into drag and started making a living? Were you a waiter? Were you worked in Lord and Taylor? What did you do?
You know, I worked for my brother-in-law's car business for years. He sold upscale cars. He sold Mercedes and Porsches and Jaguars. And I was never able to sell a car, but I was able to, you know, we'd go and buy them for him. And I would detail them. I did everything in that part of the business. But regular jobs like waiting and stuff, I was never able to do it. I never did it. So I was lucky enough to do go-go dancing gigs or...
Is a man or a woman?
Both. This is the early 80s. So right. I would do this sort of transdrogynous go-go dancing, just sort of punk, new wave, mohawk, all that stuff.
Were you tucking? No, but you know, at what point do you tuck and does it hurt?
Well,
I have so many friends that tuck, and I think, how long can you tuck?
Yeah, right. Well, you can tuck. It does hurt, and you pray to not get excited or have to go to the restroom.
What happens when you get excited?
Well, things expand.
Yes.
And it does. It pinches. It hurts. But you know, usually I'm not in drag for that long anymore. You know, I'm in drag, and then a little secret, once we're behind the counter, I put my pajamas on and the dress. I'm in the dress, and you don't see anything from here up, right? So, but you know, tucking is not easy. What happened was, in the early days, I was doing the sort of gender fuck messy drag, which then transformed into what I loved, which is my sort of black hooker drag, which was sort of like a prostitute. When I loved that, you know. And then when I decided to go for the big time,
Glamorous.
yeah, I did my Glamazon drag, which is what I do today, you know.
Which is unbelievable.
It's
Well, there's
crazy.
nobody as glamorous as the, what do I say, tranny, drag. I don't know what's politically correct.
You know, I don't give a fuck about political correct. I really don't. You know, and I feel like coming from where I come from, and the bohemian people that I was hanging out with, we transcended all that those bullshit labels. And you know, you can't take any of that shit seriously. It's you know, and a lot of people do. The ego wants to identify with something so it can say, "We're over here and you guys are over there." There's really it's bullshit.
Did you think, and I want to ask you about straight men, you know, but did you realize your show is so successful, so amazingly successful? Were you surprised that the amount, I mean, I adored it from the beginning, there's no question, but I love gay men, I love the whole world, you know, but I have, everybody watches your show. I mean, it's incredible.
It is
Were you
incredible.
surprised at the, what the hell has happened here?
You know, throughout our culture, there are little windows and pockets of time when people are open. You know, after 9/11, there was this hostility and a fear that was just in the air, right? And you know, after that died down, and you know, Obama got into office. It's not because of Obama, but Obama is a result of this openness that happened. And I think the success of our show is a part of that openness. Now, obviously, in the late 70s, there was an openness with dancing, and people were willing to, you know, to move below the waist. And obviously, in the 60s, there have been little pockets. Actually, when I first hit the big time in 93, there was a small window, but those windows close, they open, they close. And I think that is why we're experiencing that right now. And I think that's why our show is successful. But it will close again. It's not always
You
that way.
really think it would close again?
Absolutely. That's the history of mankind. I can't believe, I mean, during the 80s, I couldn't believe some of the things that people, even gay people, became very conservative during the 80s, you know?
Now, how would a tranny become conservative? Like, you wear dark hose? You know what I'm saying? I don't know any, like, you try to look homely. I mean, how do you, like, what? Talbots, you buy in from Talbots? What was it?
Low heel shoes.
A low
Right.
heel shoe?
You know what I tell you, you know,
You
around
don't wax? I don't know. How would a tranny say, I have to look conservative here?
Well, you know, for me in my career, you know, in the early 2000s, I went underground. I took time away from the business and, you know, had barbecues and got to know my nieces and nephews and stuff like that. So I knew to step away from the canvas for a few years. And then I came back in 04, around 04, and made it back. But
And how did you sell them your show? How in God's name do you walk in to four executives, and TV executives, and say, I want to do a drag show, and I want to do this with men in drag, we'll have all kinds of things, and we'll mix it up. And somebody goes, yeah, that's a good idea. Who did you sell it to that was smart enough to get it?
Well, you know, we went to about five different networks, and they were all interested because it was the feeling, it felt right. But Logo bought it in the room. That was the first time any pitch I've ever had where people, they said, you know what? And we knew it. We knew it at that moment. They bought it right in the room. But, you know, I think it was, honestly, it's climate. I've been doing this for now over 30 years from the time I started.
Do you have early pictures of you?
Yes.
Oh, we got to get some, put them in. I don't know if we have the budget. If we have the budget, I will definitely. Can we have the budget, Melissa? Yeah, we have the budget. We'll get some pictures. We'll put them in. Because Because they like to see that in the internet. It's
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, because I started in the early 80s, all of that stuff is all on the internet. Because it was the time of the home video camera. All that stuff is out there. And it's I won't watch it myself, but, you know, it's all out there.
Do you think you've gotten better? Like, you know, women either get better looking. Homely women get better looking. No, but they do. My mother always said, don't worry about her. You know, she's a horse now, but she'll get better. My mother always said that. Don't you worry. You're going to get better looking. Don't you worry. But do you think you've gotten better looking or more glamour?
I think, or, you know what?
Because I think of you so amazingly beautiful.
Thank you. I think on camera I've gotten better. I think that the man I work with, who does my hair and makeup for the past 20 years, you know, he's totally refined and we understand how it all works, you know, and what to do, what not to do. Sometimes we'll experiment with things and they're not as successful, but, you know, I think the basis is there.
Do you think of yourself as a man or as a woman in private life? Well, I have friends, you know, I'm not mentioning names, Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, that right now she's upstairs building a bookcase. We know, we understand. What in private life? Do you ever go out as a woman?
No.
There was a man named John Kenley who had a very famous, in Ohio, he had theaters. He ran great theaters in Ohio, and he was a transvestite.
Right.
And he would come to New York just to have his good time. Dressed as a woman.
Right.
And I went to dinner with him both. Sometimes we'd go as a man, sometimes we'd go as a woman.
Huh.
Yeah.
No,
never.
No, it was always just business for me. But you know, even as a kid, I used to dress up as a cowboy, as a sailor, as this. And I just love clothes. I love clothes. I love transforming myself. But you know, a trans. Transgender is someone, or transsexual, both, or someone who feels like they're in the wrong body. Transvestite is just a drag queen who just plays with the colors and stuff. And that's what I did, you know. And that's why when the universe said, why don't you do this? I was open to going, well, okay.
What about your private life? Good, bad, sad, happy?
You know, I've had
it all. Don't ask me about mine. You notice this bed, there are no stains, there's nothing. I mean, it's just nothing. It's so pathetic. Look at this pathetic spread. And it's a sad word for the cover.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know,
what is your private life?
My private life, I've been with this man for the past 19 years.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's an Australian mate from Perth, Australia.
And is he in the business? Or?
No. He is a rancher, and he has a ranch in Wyoming.
Melissa's gonna die. We love Wyoming. Do you go out there?
I do.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And he comes here to keep his sanity, you know, from time to time. But you know, when I met him in New York, he was going to the Fashion Institute of Technology, and then he decided to get into to art. So he started painting. And then his family, business was ranching. So when you know his grandmother died, he had to take over the ranch. I spend most of my time here. He's mostly in Wyoming. There's not another human alive who I love more and who has my back more than him. So you know, like I said, we don't stand on ceremony. So if I need to go and get a little dessert or do a little something else. Perfectly fine. I know, you know, who
that's
he is.
Yeah. How nice. Your life seems very good. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Very solid, which is very unusual in our business. I mean, especially for a tranny. You know what I mean? We walk into those clubs, and they're standing there screaming, and there are four shares. You know what I mean? You walk in, there's a share, and there's, it was just so pathetic, there's a Carol Channing who's already no chicken. Who are the young ones doing? I'm sick of the lie. They do, I'll tell you who they do. They do Liza, they do Bette Midler, they do me a little bit.
Yeah.
Carol Channing still. Barbara,
right,
Streisand.
Sure. Yeah.
Who are the younger ones doing?
Well, they do Britney, they do Rihanna, and they do Beyonce. They do all that. They do Gaga a lot. And in fact, when we do whole auditions for our show, we try to tell them, listen, you know, we've had enough Gagas, on, you know, but mostly on the audition tapes, it's like Gaga, it's all these same people. That's the thing, is that we're looking for originals. We're looking for people who have that something special. And when I'm around young people, I try to tell them, be yourself. Even if it's being someone else, still be yourself. And that's the hardest thing to convey to someone who doesn't understand it, you know.
So. Now, why aren't you, or maybe you are, first of all, just tell everybody, because we have to do this, because he's here for free. Tell all of the lines that you have and what you're pushing. Then I want to ask you about makeup, whether you're doing makeup or why haven't you done makeup? Why hasn't Mac or somebody come to you and said, do a line for us?
Right. You know, I
go right in the camera, just tell them all you
You know, I was the first face of Mac Cosmetics in 90, I don't know what year it was, but I was there for many years.
And then what happened?
You know, we Estee Lauder bought the company, and they sort of shaped and reached and changed it from that sort of edginess that, you know, that it
and
was.
Everything became smaller. Go ahead.
Yeah. But we've got, you know, obviously I do my music for the show, and we've got spinoff shows from, Drag Race, right? Like Drag U and, Untucked and... There's a couple of other things. I don't remember what they are now. But, and, you know, there's the shoes and...
You're doing the shoes. And explain the shoes. You do... Go ahead. Big size shoes. Continue.
Well, they're big size shoes. They're shoes for women, but they are shoes that will also fit men, you know. And we do that. And I'm getting into some other things.
God, if Rock Hudson were only alive today,
oh, geez,
he would be so happy.
Yes, he would be. And who was the other one? Wasn't it Burt Lancaster?
Burt Lancaster, they claim,
right,
you know, like to dress up.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A nice way to put it. Cary Grant.
Really?
Come
I didn't know that.
Oh, come on. Cary Grant, big time, I heard.
Wow. Oh, that would be fabulous.
Oh, can you imagine him in a simple negligee?
Oh, God.
That would knock my socks off. Hello there.
Juty, juty, juty.
Juty, juty, juty.
But you know what's funny? You know, the merchandising, I still haven't really cracked the merchandising that much because, you know, years ago I heard George Michael say, you know, I used to have a lot of gay fans until I came out of the closet. Because gay people, you know, there's a shame associated with it. So gay people buying other gay people's products, the people who buy my stuff are usually like black women or young girls, but like sort of the overall, and obviously I do have gay people who buy my things, but it's an interesting thing, the shame attached to gayness, especially as it deals with merchandising.
No, to me, it's fascinating that the women are smart enough. That's who you watch. You don't watch another woman. You watch a tranny put their makeup on. They know, that's why I started at the very start here.
Yeah.
They know how to shade it. They know how to do it. Watch transgenders put their makeup on.
Sure.
Nothing, they're brilliant at it.
Yeah, you know, you don't know the fights I've had with my sisters to say, just put a little foundation on. God, please.
But you want to kill them.
No, it's true. And it doesn't take long. I just had coffee with my sister yesterday, and I wanted to just tie her down and put a little smudge, a little brown on her lid. And
how would it hurt? What's her name?
Rosie.
Rosie, how would it hurt? How would it hurt, Rosie, especially with your lazy eye? How would it wouldn't kill you? What about celebrities? You've got to look at celebrities. And coming off of the Oscars, there was like Helen Hunt. I mean, that forehead, she looks like an Easter Island statue. Am I wrong? Wear bangs. I mean, who were you looking at the Academy Awards that you were thinking, Renee Zellweger. you just tape your eyes open. I mean, something.
I think,
who did you look at that you said, God, I'd love to get a hold of her and just do this to her.
You know, honestly, and this, I think this year was one of the worst years ever. And there was only a handful that I thought, right on, you really did a great job. But I think most of the stylists in Hollywood really need to be fired.
Oh.
I really do. And I, because we're talking about proportion here, even though like Salma Hayek had a gorgeous dress on, she had this all, it was, she's too short to wear that,
she's
you know?
She's like a little short Mexican lady, you know what I mean? Yeah, I thought she didn't look good.
It's a gorgeous dress, but it wasn't for her. She needed to be taller.
Yeah. Who else?
Well, Charlize Theron looked great. Oh. She was my favorite. She was absolutely my favorite.
Movie star.
Yes, movie star.
What am I doing wrong?
You know what?
No. Don't be kind. Don't be kind because you're sitting here because you're never going to come back anyhow. God, what would you do? Tell me the truth. Because I'm desperate.
You know what? I've watched you and I've known you for 20 years,
yeah.
You know? You know how to do it, bitch.
You're such a...
You know how to do it. I love that you you keep this area open. You know, you're not 6 feet tall.
No.
But you wear the black pants and this area is open. You wear the color accent that really pops, and you keep that hair tall. Even if your hair is down, you keep it tall. You got it.
What about plastic surgery?
I live for plastic surgery. I have not been cut, but I'm not opposed to it. I'm 52, so it's about time for me to do something.
No, your neck is still very good.
Well, you know, it's when I do the show though, I'm taped, so I am snatched back.
Tell them how they tape. The old days, didn't they used to put like clamps in?
That's what Marlene Dietrich did. No, she would. I think she would do a braid and then I don't know.
Pull the braid.
Yeah, yeah.
I worked with a woman named Ann Southern when I was in summer stock.
Yeah,
I was
Ann
just
Southern.
Starting out. And she would put tape.
Yeah.
And then the tape would go all the way back here.
Yeah.
And one day we were on stage. I was the little apprentice. And half so it was like,
Yeah.
It was not good.
Yeah. No, I've had that happen too.
Yeah.
You know what I use? I use those tapes. They're Mark Trainer tapes. What I use is toupee tape. And the really, really tacky one, the one that really sticks really well, I tape that to this area here. I actually have scars right here from where I tape for hours on end. And I tape here, and I tape here. And it's a rubber band that just basically pulls your face back like that, you know. And I love it. I live for it.
And that you give the tricks that people would only do it.
Right.
Because people should look good. I am very shallow. I know we're all beautiful inside. Who cares?
Right.
I'd like to see what's on the outside.
Sure. Yeah. Why can't you have both? Why not do both?
They're going to come to you because you're beautiful on the outside, and then they're going to find if they're lucky, you're okay on the inside too.
Yeah, yeah. No, I believe in those tricks, and I think that, that's why I get upset with my sisters. It's like, you know, you want to make a lot of money. You want to put your best foot forward in life, you know, and actually looking good is a celebration of yourself. It's like saying to your creator, I love it. I'm going to decorate it.
I love it. I'm going to decorate it. I'm closing on that. That is so, I love you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, baby.
Oh, RuPaul, everybody. Off camera, we were talking. He and I go back. Literally, he did my morning talk show. He opened for me in Atlantic City. So we really had so much to talk about. But there were things I didn't know, like that he was named RuPaul after an ingredient in gumbo. And I kept thinking, my mother almost named me, I mean, the coincidence, I was almost called Gefilte Joan after the things that my family ate.
Joan, I was so happy I could be here today. And by the way, you are amazing in bed. You're a firecracker on fire!